God, created man. He is our God, the great I am.
It was the great Apostle Paul. He was writing to the Church of Christ in Philippi, and he said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Apostle Paul reminds us, he says, "Brothers, I have not apprehended," that is, "I have not laid hold onto that glorified eternal life in the kingdom of God." And he said, "But there's one thing I'm going to do. I'm not going to worry about what's behind me." I will tell you something. If there's somebody here this morning, your life will be a lot better starting right now if you let go of some of the stuff that's behind you. He says, "I'm going to forget about that." And he says, "I'm going to strive. I'm going to reach for. I'm going to run this race. I'm trying to lay hold onto the glorified kingdom of God." So we're thankful that God has blessed us to come and to assemble as a called out body of believers. We're thankful for those who have come our way as guests this morning. Our prayer is that this won't be your last time, but that this will be the first of many occasions that you are here with us. There's nothing that we like better than guests, except for when our guests become brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're visiting with us this morning by way of television or live stream, we thank God that the technology allows us to come in and to visit with you for a little while. And we just ask that you just stay with us for a little bit, and we pray that something will be said from this morning's lesson that will make us all walk a little bit closer with the great God of heaven. I'm Brother Ray Wilkerson. I have the great opportunity to serve as the assistant to Brother Gary, and I'm just very thankful for Brother Gary this morning yielding the time. This morning he allowed me to stand, and I always want to say surprise, surprise, surprise. I'm trying to resist that. I'm not going to say that this morning. Oh, I said it. Oh man, it came out. It came out. Now, I want to look this morning for just a moment. I'll take for our verse of scripture that we're going to focus. But we'll go back and we're going to do some Old Testament study, because we are studying in our class across the street through the Minor Prophets. And you get a whole completely different picture about the great God of heaven when you read through the Old Testament. And studying through the Minor Prophets, there's just so much stuff in there, so much good stuff. But we find our correlation, our parallels in the New Testament. The verse of scripture that was read come from 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 10. The Bible says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins." That is a mind-boggling concept, that it's not we who love God, but it's God who loves us. Do you believe that God loves you, brother?
Yes, sir.
Do you believe that God loves you, my sister?
Yes.
Do you believe that God loves the whole world? And the Bible says further that he sent his son. That's how much love God has for us. That he sent his only begotten son, full of grace and truth, no other like Jesus, to be the payment in full for our sins. So we're going to talk about the love of God the Father. We'll talk about the love of God the Son. And hopefully somewhere in between here, all of us will be having a greater appreciation for the God that we serve and what God requires and expects for us. Before I get into the lesson proper, just ask you, did anybody get your tickets to the Lil Wayne concert? Man, Sprint opened up their doors, and they said that they were going to give away some of those free tickets for the Lil Wayne concert at the Blues House? Anybody get, you can raise your hand. I know some of y'all were in that line. There were people literally standing for hours in line to have a chance to get a free ticket to Lil Wayne. My wife had asked me to do something, not to get the tickets for Lil Wayne. But she wanted one of the Selena bags. Did anybody get your Selena bag? Now, I'm a Selena fan. I was a Selena fan, but last year she sent me to go and try to get a Selena bag. And I got up early. I thought I was sharp. I got up early. When I got there, there were folk in line out the door. And they had their tickets to buy a Selena bag. And they could buy as many as two. And by the time that I got there, all of the tickets, if everybody bought two bags, I wouldn't be able to get a bag. I went to another HEB. Same thing. They were sold out, if you will. They given out all the tickets. I went to a third HEB. People lined up out the door because they wanted to have an opportunity to buy Selena bags. So I got smart. I went to an area where I didn't think that very many people who would be interested in Selena bags would be. I went way out to the Woodlands. And I got there and I was right. There weren't a whole bunch of people that were interested in buying Selena bags out there, but they didn't have any bags. So I had experience from last year. And my wife wanted a Selena bag. And I said, wait a minute, I went to four Selena bag stores last year and didn't get one, but one of her coworkers fortunately got one for her. Thank you for the blessing. What's the point? People invest their time. People invest their money. People invest their resources for what they're interested in. I promise you, if we put out there on the, I started to bring my wife Selena back, if we put up there on the marquee, free Selena bag to a random guest, there'd be people that would come. If we put out there on the bag, on the marquee, that you can get free tickets to the Lil Wayne concert, we would have to make sure that we let people know, look, you got to be in worship, and they would come and they would sit because they love Lil Wayne. What's my point? What about the love of God? Who loves God? God loved us. And he demonstrates his love for us. But what about the reciprocity of love? Do we love God the way that God loves us? As we're studying through the book of the minor prophets, there's a minor prophet by the name of Hosea. And he's known as the prophet of love. I think Brother Diggs set a foundation on last Sunday night. Don't worry, I'm not good up here and try to do what he did and sing some of them songs. Lord, have mercy. But if you can sing, the house might be full. I don't know. But now, Lotus, if you will, open your Bibles, if you will. And let's go to the book of Hosea, chapter 1. Hosea, chapter 1, and verse number 2. This is some difficult text to get through. There's so many amazing things in here. The Bible says, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take thee a wife of whoredom and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom. Is that in your Bible? God told Hosea, you go marry a prostitute. And he's going to typify and exemplify the love of God for his people through the relationship that Hosea is going to have with his wife. My Bible says that God told him to do this. That God said, go marry a wife of whoredoms, and you're going to have children that are not going to be your children by that wife. Lord, have mercy. He's exemplifying and typifying God's relationship with his people. God's complaint against Israel. You have created a great whoredom. You have left the love of the Lord your God. God says, I didn't leave you, but you have left me. The New Testament correlation, the church of Christ is the bride of Christ. And we've got to make sure that all of us walk hand in hand with our Lord. That we follow what thus saith the Lord. And it's an amazing thing, because it's amazing how sometimes I think that we put our own limitations on God. There are scholars that debate about Hosea. Now, that would not happen. God would not tell a man to go and marry a woman who is a known prostitute. God just wouldn't do that. Now, here's the thing, is that sometimes, because our minds cannot comprehend and understand, we start to put limits on God. When God was telling his disciples, he said, look, that the Son of Man is going to die. And Peter came and he grabbed him. He's like, it ain't going to happen to you, Jesus. And what the Lord said, get thee behind me, Satan. But Peter was just reasoning from his own rational mind. But listening, our rational mind, our common sense does not equate to the word of God. Don't put our limitations, don't put our restrictions upon the great God that we serve. God reminds us in the book of Isaiah 55 and verse number 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. But as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Don't put God on our schedule. Don't put God on our limitations. Don't put God on our mental framework. Let God be God. Amen. Amen. Let God be God. And God says, I want to show you something, people of God. I want to show you about the love of God. And I'm going to show you through this man's life. I want you to go and marry a prostitute. Has anybody got that on your list of things to do for those of you who are looking for wives? And somebody said, well, she couldn't have started out being that way because he wouldn't have married her. Don't put your limitations on God. Scholars debate these kind of silly things. Let the word be true. Let God be true. Isn't that what Paul says in his letter to the church of Rome? In Romans chapter 3 and verse number 4, he says, God forbid, let God be true. And how many men are lying? Let God be true and every man a lie. God is the one that we serve. Don't put limitations on God because of our limitations, mental, emotional, spiritual, or otherwise. Let God be God, that it might be as justified in thy sins, that thou mightest overcome when thou art judged. Let God be God, brother. I'm just going to let God be God. And see, you know, people tell me sometimes, they tell me, Brother Gary, they tell me more than one account. Don't you have some common sense? I'm working on a lesson. Common sense ain't common no more. But I'm going to tell you something, that sometimes our common sense gets in the way of faith with God. Sometimes our common sense, you know, if we were talking about common sense, when Jesus came walking on the water and Peter saw him on the water, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. Common sense say, Peter, don't you get out of that. But he's the only other person that we read about that walked on water. See, I'm saying, don't let our faith get overridden by what we call common sense. God said, go marry a prostitute. It doesn't say that she was a prostitute at the beginning, in the middle. It says, go marry a prostitute. Some say, well, she must have been a good woman starting out, and he just turned her into, wait a minute, where you get that from? You know where it comes from? So much stuff comes from our own minds. Lord, save us from the stuff that is in our own minds. The Bible shows us that he went out and he married a lady by the name of Gomer. And Gomer was a prostitute. And he loved her. He wanted her as his wife. But when she came into that relationship, sometimes our old baggage follows us. Is that right? Oh, well, nobody going to say amen. But you know what? When you're starting to look for a spouse, somebody said everybody's got baggage. So what you want to look for is somebody whose baggage matches yours. Yours a matching set then. All right, you have to work with that. All right, you have to work with that. In Hosea's day, there was political corruption in the land. The political corruption in Hosea's day reached all the way to the highest office in the land. Reached all the way up to the kings over Israel and Judah. There's political corruption in the land today. Reaches all the way up to the highest level in government, even to the White House. And there are terrible things that are happening politically in our country because of the corruption. My wife still thinks I'm addicted to CNN, and I said this last time, I'm not addicted. I'm not even watching it. I'm not even DVRing it right now. I can walk away at any time. But there's some terrible, have you been seeing any of these terrible political corruption things that are taking place? And you go, Lord, have mercy. The country is vulnerable, but God is going to teach us something.
Amen.
The Bible's already told us there's nothing new under the sun, so maybe we can learn something from the Word of God. This was a time of Hosea of terrible political corruption. There's a terrible thing. In Hosea chapter 9 and verse number 9, the Bible says, they have deeply corrupted themselves, as in the days of Gibeah. Therefore, he will remember their iniquity. He will visit their sins. You know what God says? God says, judgment is coming for you. God says, I want you to understand, I'm not just going to sit back and not do anything about it. Are there consequences and repercussions for sin? Do we truly believe that God will visit our sins upon us? That God is going to hold us accountable? What's our responsibility? Now, he's talking to his wife. He's telling his wife, listen, you are not acting right. Anybody want to have that conversation with your wife?
Yeah.
Baby, come here. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
You ain't acting right. Ooh, we're getting quiet in here. Boy, I tell you. How would that conversation go? And let me tell you what you're not doing that you need to be doing. At the political level, he says, I'm going to remember your sins. I'm going to remember your iniquity. I'm going to visit it upon you. Bible tells us that not only were the politics corrupted, but there was religious corruption as well. Which is worse, to have political corruption or to have religious corruption? That's a thought question, just a thought question. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 1, look at this. This is what I'm going to tell you something. You heard that. You heard that. We heard that one bad apple. All right, I thought y'all were going to go with Michael Jackson. Don't spoil the whole bunch here. But yeah, one bad apple. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, it says evil communication. Oh, Lord, let me try over here. Let me try. Evil communication. All right, see, they know over here. They've been reading the Bible. They've been studying. And here it is. They were corrupt at the highest level politically, and religion was corrupted as well. Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 1, the Bible says, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is, get this, no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. God's controversy with his people. Listen, you don't tell the truth. He says, listen, you don't have mercy. You don't show mercy to anybody. He's saying that you don't have knowledge of God. Now, I can understand if at the political level they don't have knowledge of God. Is there anybody that ought to have knowledge of the Word of God? Who ought to know God through his Word? If it's not the church, then who's going to know the Word of God? If it's not the church, who's going to preach the truth of the Word of God? We as members of the family of God have an awesome responsibility to know the Word of God. But we got to spend time with the Word of God. And when we know the Word of God, we are merciful to other people. When we know the Word of God, we speak truth to other people. When we know the Word of God, then we try to make sure that we communicate the knowledge and the Word and the love of God to others. And God's complaint against his wife: you don't even know my Word. You don't listen. Anybody know the difference between hearing and listening? What's the difference between hearing and listening? Now, my wife's complaining sometimes that she don't think that I'm really listening to her. I said, I heard exactly what you said. Is there a difference between hearing and listening? Oh, I heard everything you said. I heard what you said. But listening. And this is what God says. It's not that you don't hear. He says, but you're not listening. You're not letting it resonate with you. You're not letting it make a change for you. You're not letting it bring you closer to a relationship with God. And you know what they started doing? They started hiring preachers that would preach whatever they wanted to hear. They started hiring prophets. You come in and prophesy. Oh, yeah, tell me lies. Lie. It's okay. Prophesy whatever you want to prophesy. Just don't tell us the truth. Could that happen today? Where God's people have no tolerance for the truth? Lord, have mercy. The Bible reminds us that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. This is written for our learning, brothers. This is written for our learning. This is a tough kind of lesson. But listen, when you read through the old Bible, as one brother calls it, when you read through these prophets, you find out, Lord, have mercy. God is not happy with sin. But through it all, we see the love of God. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse number 20, but the prophets which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, he goes on to tell us, look, if you got a dream, tell it as a dream. Some folk going around dreaming dreams, coming back, talking about, well, this is what God said to me. Listen, tell your dream as a dream. Don't be going around and putting it on God. God's word is in his book. He has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. It's in the book, my brother. It's in the book, my sister. And when we read and study and apply the word, then we have truth and we have mercy and we have knowledge of God. And do you know that's the only thing that can put us in a right relationship with God? Get this. The Bible says in John chapter 17 and verse number 17, sanctify them. How? Sanctify them. The word sanctify means set apart for the use of God. The church is sanctified for Jesus Christ. Set aside for whose use? That word sanctify, set aside for God's use. It's not set aside. I'm not fighting Lil Wayne, but we're not set aside for Lil Wayne. We're not set aside for Beyonce. We're not set aside for Selena. We are set aside. Sanctify them how? Through thy truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. We got to spend time with the word of God, brothers. We got to spend time with the word of God, sisters. And we've got to apply it, appropriate it to our own lives. If there's anybody that ought to know the word of God, we can complain about the folk in political office. There's a whole nother lesson there. But at least the people of God ought to know the word of God. And we ought to be able to live it in our lives, applying it to our lives, because God demonstrates his love for his people. In Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, the Bible says God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were living in our sins, where we were not even close to being what God wants us to be, he sent Jesus, and Jesus loved us so much that he died on Calvary's cross to purchase us as the part of the bride of Christ. Because the love that he has for us, oh Lord, have mercy. Now that's love. That's love. When regardless of what all is going on, contrary to what we desire, you still stay with it. See, you see, love is a commitment. It's not an emotional feeling. Let that sink in for a moment. Because some folk think that, every time I see him, I see butterflies. I see butterflies. And he said, oh, when I see her, oh, God, my goodness. Don't she look good, man? I just can't even see straight. You see, what happens is that romantic, what we call romantic kind of love, there are actually endorphins that are released in your brain. And literally, you are on drugs. Guess what happens when the drug wears off? I did what? With who? Oh, Lord, I must have been on. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, I am not going to go into the drug culture or anything like that, but it's an amazing thing that love is not a feeling. It's commitment. And God is asking his children, and we're going to see this. We're going to see this. I got to get here. Both under the old law and under the new law, God is asking his people, look, I want you to be committed. I want you to be committed to me. I want you to have that relationship with me where you do what I ask you to do. Do you get that example through Hosea? God said, go marry a prostitute. We don't read anywhere in here. Say, excuse me. Wait, well, run that back with me. One more time. God, what did you say, God? You want to do what? We don't hear any debate about it. He got up and did what God told him to do. It's not the easy things, the stuff that we want to do, that God tells us to do, that are a challenge or a test for us. It's the hard things. It's the difficult things. But God is raising up an army to conquer the world. And that requires commitment. And that's why God commended his love toward us. And that's why we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Look at how God demonstrates his love through Hosea. In Hosea chapter 3 and verse number 1. Now this is tough stuff. This is tough stuff. This is grown-up preaching right here. This is grown-up medicine. And it's like my mama used to say, when you take medicine, shake well. Mix it up well because you're taking some medicine. Look at this medicine. In Hosea chapter 3 and verse number 1. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress. Wait, what'd you say, God? Look, Hosea's wife left and she went to the temple of prostitution and she's living her life as a prostitute. And she's his wife. And she's up there with some other man. And what God says in the Bible here in Hosea chapter 3, the Lord said, go yet love a woman. She's got her man over there. But listen, you go get your wife. God, are you sure? She done already left. She got children over there that ain't my children. I'm sorry, that are not my children.
Yeah, she had to stay there.
That's what a whole lot of people are. She left me. I ain't leave her. I didn't do anything wrong. I was right here the whole time. And God said, Hosea, go get her. You don't see him arguing not one time. He does not make one complaint. Yes, she's an adulteress, but go get her. What are you? Because I am showing you what the love of God is like. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good and sinneth not. A bunch of sinners. Folk can't handle that kind of talk. Oh, don't you be calling me no sinner. What you talking about? You're living in a glass house, better not throw no stone. Listen. God says everybody needs to get right. Yeah. Everybody needs to come correct. Go get your wife, Hosea. Woo, Lord have mercy. Oh, Lord. Wait, God. Wait, God. No. Notice what he says. He says, according to the love of God toward the children of Israel. What you're doing, Hosea, is that you're showing what it means for God to love the people of God. You go get her. You'll get her. You go get her. Now notice. He says, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel who look to other gods. She was committing spiritual adultery. She's in the house of a pagan god as a prostitute, selling herself, having children by other folk, and she's married to the preacher of God, the prophet of God. And he said she loved those flagons of wine. She loved those raisin cakes. She loved all of that stuff that they got going on over there. But Hosea, you go get that woman. Oh, Lord, have mercy. That's what he said. It's in your Bible. Is it still in there? See, listen. He says in Hosea chapter 3 and verse number 2. Get this. Don't see any argument from God at all. It's not the easy stuff that makes us strong in the Lord. It's the difficult things that we overcome. In Hosea chapter 3 verse number 2, notice what he says. So, I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver. See, now that was the price of a slave in Hosea's day. It's going to go up to about double by the time Jesus is on the scene. But he says, I bought her for 15 pieces of silver and for a homer of barley and half a homer of barley. So 15 pieces of silver and a homer. And you know what? He's like, baby, I done paid for you all over again. Now, I paid for you. And look, you are coming out of the house over here of prostitution. And you know where you're going? I'm going to take you back to where you lived before. I'm going to take you back to your house. No, it's still there. But now notice in verse number 3. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. You're going to come and you're going to stay with me, baby. And you're going to be there. And I'm going to tell you. But now wait a minute. We're not just going to jump right back into the relationship. You're going to abide. You're going to have to stay here. You're going to abide. Don't you go back over there. Now, if she didn't been running around over there at the house, the temple of prostitution, and you bring her back home, and she said, well, I'm just going to run an errand and go over here. No, don't you go back over there. He says, you abide with me for many days, and you're not going to be with no other man. And he says, and it's going to be you and me, baby. And somebody say, oh, that's too big of a pill to swallow. That's what God did. God didn't divorce us every time we sin. God makes all, you're talking about love. It's not that singing, feeling good and clapping your hand kind of stuff right here. This is grown-up love. This is a commitment from God. And God says, listen, through the prophet Hosea, you showed them what the love of God is all about. I bought you back. I brought you back. You must not be a prostitute. You're not to be intimate with anybody else. It's me for you and you for me. I know that's a song somewhere, Diggs, where are you? But listen. Jesus loves his wife. God the Father shows us how much he loved his wife. Jesus loves his wife. And God loves us so much that he sent Jesus. And Jesus is the propitiation, the payment in full for our sins. You want to talk about love? You can see it in Hosea, but we miss it sometimes when we talk about our relationship with Christ. Christ has put up with all of our foolishness for a long, long time. But there's coming a day that judgment is going to come. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 2, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I've espoused you to one husband. And you know that husband is? That husband is Christ. Ephesians 5:24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ in all things, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Ephesians 5:32, the Bible says this is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and his church. When we talk about that marriage example, we're talking about the church and Christ. And see what it is, God wants us to be faithful. God wants us to put him first. Jesus wants us to put him first in our relationship. Listen, anything and everything else has to at least be secondary. God is to have our time. God is to have our talent. God is to have our attention. God is to have our devotion. And when we do that, brother, listen, the work of the Lord ain't hard at all. Not when we do that. If you're here this morning and you're not a member of the family of Christ, but you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then certainly, if you believe Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you repent of sins, confess belief in Christ, you can give your body to be baptized in water for the remission of sins that adds you to the body of Christ. I know this is not a popular lesson, but I'm telling you, God is calling for us. He's calling for us to put him first. Because Jesus died for our sins, according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He gave his life. And if he gave his life, we have to give ours as well. As members of the family of God, we stumble, we fall, we make many mistakes. But listen, we come back through confession, repentance, and prayer. If you're subject to the invitation, why don't you make it known as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh, haste to its brink.